Monday, August 25th. The first reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 8 through 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, remembering you in our prayers, unceasingly calling to mind your work of faith and labor of love and endurance and hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father, knowing, brothers and sisters loved by God, how you were chosen. For our gospel did not come to you in word alone, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with much conviction. You know what sort of people we were among you for your sake. In every place your faith in God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves openly declare about us what sort of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to await his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the coming wrath. Haydock Commentary. It is observed that St. Paul never calls himself an apostle in either of the epistles to the Thessalonians. The reason why he deviates from his ordinary custom on this occasion probably is that joining his name with the other two, he did not like to assume a title, though his due, which the others did not possess. Such condescension to your neighbor's feelings, even in trifles, is highly delicate and praiseworthy. The apostle praises the Thessalonians for the progress they had made in the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and enumerates the profit they had derived from each. Their faith had produced works, their charity rendered their labor light and easy, and their patience was the fruit of their future hopes, in confidence of which they bore what they had to suffer from their unconverted countrymen. He says, I have preached the gospel to you not only in words of persuasion, but have proved it by the power of miracles, in much fullness or in great abundance. I have taught you the gospel not by my words only, but by my actions, for you know what kind of life I led among you. I had no interest but in gaining your souls, and I rejoice to hear you have received it in much power by the Holy Ghost working within you. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 22. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You lock the kingdom of heaven before men. You do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow entrance to those trying to enter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You traverse sea and land to make one convert, and when that happens you make him a child of Gehenna, twice as much as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, If one swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gold of the temple, one is obligated. Blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that made the gold sacred? And you say, If one swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gift on the altar, one is obligated. You blind ones, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? One who swears by the altar swears by it and all that is upon it. One who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. One who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who is seated on it. Haydock Commentary. The Pharisees, by refusing to believe in him and conspiring against him, deterred those who would otherwise have believed in Christ from professing his name and following his doctrines, and thus shut the gate of heaven against them. Our blessed Savior severely reprehends the hypocrisy and other vices of the scribes and Pharisees a little before his death, to make them enter into themselves and to hinder them from seducing others. The Pharisees, by every means in their power, endeavored to persuade the widows of the poor to make vows or offerings for the temple, by which they themselves became rich, and thus they devoured the houses of widows. Whoever is a perpetrator of evil deserves heavy chastisements, but the man who commits wickedness under the cloak of religion is deserving of still more severe punishment. As earlier our Lord had inculcated 8 Beatitudes, so here he denounces 8 woes or threats of impending judgment to the scribes and Pharisees for their vile hypocrisy. A Gentile sinned without a perfect knowledge of the evil and was not then a twofold child of hell, but after his conversion, seeing the vices of his masters and perceiving that they acted in direct opposition to the doctrines they taught, he returns to the vomit and renders himself a prevaricator by adoring the idols he formerly left and sells his soul doubly to the devil. So says St. John Chrysostom. They that teach that it is sufficient to have faith only do make such Christians as blindly follow them, as these Jews did their proselytes, children of hell far more than before. So says St. Augustine. We may take notice that a good part of what was offered on the altar and given to the treasury of the temple fell to the share of the Jewish priests, and therefore it was not their interest to have such promises or oaths dispensed with. This made them teach the people that if anyone had made a promissory oath or vowed to give their money or goods to the temple or to the altar itself, such oaths or promises were not obligatory or might easily be dispensed with. But if anyone had sworn or vowed to give anything to the treasury of the temple or join it to the offerings to be made on the altar, then such oaths and promises which turned to their profit were by all means to be kept. To correct their covetous proceedings, Christ tells them that the temple and the altar were greater than the gold and the offerings. The altar is sanctified by our Lord's body thereon. Theophylactus, the close follower of St. John Chrysostom, writes upon this text, "In the Old Law, Christ will not allow the gift to be greater than the altar, but with us the altar is sanctified by the gift. For the bread, by the divine grace, is converted into our Lord's body, and therefore the altar is sanctified by it."